Akasaka Blitz 1998 off of their album. December 12th, 1998, Okotachi no Wakare, Farewell to Men by the Fishmans. This is a album was for departing member bassist. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit emotional right now because this album, well, the Fishmen in general have been there for me when I was absolutely in the gutter of depression and all, you know, just figuring myself out. But yes, this album was for, you know, a reference to Yuzuru Kashiwabara, the bassist of the Fishmen, who was departing the band. This ultimately just served, ultimately ended up being a farewell to the band, as lead singer frontman Shinji Sato would pass away within months of this album. So this is considered the final release of the trio, and I just get so wrapped up in my head, and just, you know, I just can't help but just get a little bit misty-eyed every time I listen to this album from front to back. I love the Fishmen with all my heart, and I just so glad that I can play this record on the air during the day from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. filling in for Fabio. I'm just glad I could just play this record in general on WFMU. Couldn't really play this on my college radio station, as we had to do 15-minute mic breaks. Talk about torture. But here's what I can really appreciate, you know, play the full thing in its entirety and just really just sink myself into, you know, the place I listened, where I was 22, 23, 24. I listened to this album a lot throughout the year, throughout my early 20s, and it still gets me the same. I still get I just get really emotional. That's all I can tell you. I get a very, oh my god, this is such a beautiful record. But yes, if you highly recommend you check out the whole whole discography of the Fishmen. It just, you know, starts off like reggae dub from like their earlier days to like dream pop to neo psychedelia. And this album is just basically like the best of the Fishmen throughout the years. And yeah, I'm just really glad I can share this record with you. And just, you know, reading the comments off of this record, especially one that really got to me was the Kid Lunch's comments. It says, "Incredible. Every day at WFMU, I hear records that are like, what? I don't know of this. Never-ending music in mind expansion. How do I not know of that Fishman's band or album? I guarantee I'll be listening to it for life from here on out." And that just, you know, was the fine nail in the coffin. So I'm a little bit misty-eyed right now. I'm just really glad I could share this record once again, especially this track, Long Season. I've been wanting to play it for, like, ever since I started my journey here at WFMU, and I'm glad I could play it, the live version, today. I still gotta play the record version one of these days or nights. Anyways, this is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, and also online at WFMU.org. We have a couple more minutes left, 3 minutes left, and afterwards it's time for Dave to play some amazing music, so don't go anywhere. My name is DJ Perro Caliente, and you're listening to Secret Canine Agents, filling in for Fabio, host of Strength Through Failure. Thank you so much, Fabio, for letting me be on today once more. It feels good. It feels great. I'm awake. I am actually somewhat coherent, and I'm not overly caffeinated with some coffee. Anyways, let's lighten up the mood a bit with some Guar, dedicated to Jim the Poet, who requested this. And shout out to all the Gen X math rock nerds that listen to my show and just the canines in general. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye!
some miracle nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now for a full hour, will you, of speaking together, trying to find some joy together, like we're looking for lost keys. And I think it'd be easier to look for them on the inside, where the light is better. But I lost them. Shush, shush, shush. But I lost them on the outside. Shush, 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 shush. Inside looking.
Hey, that looks like a pretty good guitar to have.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good guitar to have, I think, at my house, man.
Yeah, you think so, Jaden?
Yeah, I'd like to play guitar, maybe, because I think I could sound like Travis Delbert.
I don't know who that is, but, yeah, would you like to have that one?
Could I have it? Can I take it home with me?
Yes, you could have it. And
I'm going to have to ask my Grammy.
All right, well, you ask your Grammy. And, but then I think it's going to probably be okay. And then you take that. I was thinking about that story the other day to make myself cry. There was a child that lived a couple doors down, and he was living with his grandmother because his father had problems. And so he was there for his well-being protection. And he was a sweet little boy. And I gave him this crummy old guitar. And it wasn't any sacrifice to me at all. I don't even think I gave it to him on purpose. It was one thing, okay, I guess take it. And I don't think it changed his life at all. I think he's probably had some rough times. But I was just thinking about that because I was trying to make myself cry because I thought I had something in my eye. And I thought, I got to cry. How am I going to make myself cry? And I went and I looked at all the old things, that old movies and everything I thought would make me cry, but a lot of them didn't work anymore. I think my sentimentality has changed. And they used to work, but it wept, and whatever was in my eye, whether it was a mote, I'm not sure what that is, but if you've gotten one in your eye, you know it's painful. And it was flushed out, I think, by my tears. So sometimes tears are not a bad thing. Are they ever a bad thing? Probably during job interviews. Other than that, there might be other times. I've been at weddings where one of the marrieds is crying, or both, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, that's what a hard to interpret thing, right? I mean, weeping. You can be happy. You can cry tears of joy. You can cry because you're terrified or something. I don't know. A lot of things you can cry because you've got searing abdominal cramps associated with diarrhea. I was thinking about diarrhea the other day because I remember mishearing a child say that he needed to make a diarrhea for school and then take it there. And he was saying diorama. And I don't know whether I had misheard it or whether it's having a brain thing. I'm always worried that my brain is going to malfunction. And you're probably thinking, oh, dear, oh, sweet spirit, it already has. And I'd be the last to know, I'm sure. That's probably something I want to talk to you about today because I think about it quite a bit. And that's your brain and what happens when something happens to it. And who are you when your memories aren't there? Because I was watching that show, Severance. I think that's what it's called. Severance. And what is it about? It is about, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm really there for the sets. And they cost $20 million. I think the whole thing was $200 million. But I'll tell you what, it's worth it because it's so enjoy Patricia Arquette. As a David Lynch fan, you know, Lost Highway is one of my movies that I've seen of his. I was watching that movie and I was thinking, you know, has anyone ever dealt with the idea of identity? I'm joking. I know that that's a branch of philosophy. And I know that I've talked about it a lot. And I was really triggered by my grandmother losing her memories. She didn't lose them like people lose their, like, where are my glasses? But on top of your head. And a lot of times your memories are like that. It goes, where are my memories? They're in your breast pocket. Or they're on top of your head. Or you sat on them. Or you never had memories. Oh, that's a terrible one. But yes, they, and who is that person? Say, well, that person is being robbed. Look, they're diminished. They aren't who they were. And it's so tragic. And you say, well, then maybe when they get to heaven, you get them all back. It's just like going to prison. They have to take your stuff for a while. Say, hey, we've had all the stuff that was in your pocket is now, you can have it back after being in prison. I think there's a cricket lighter in there. I don't know what else. And a whole bunch of stuff. Most of it is useless. There might be a flip phone in there. I don't know. I haven't looked. Good luck finding the charger. So I don't know whether that's the story there. But we do lose memories just like we lose things. Now, we lose memories all the time because you forget things that happened to you. You don't remember half of it. And you don't notice half of it. Is it half? Half might not be the fraction. I can't do math. But most of what goes around, I would say most of what goes on around you, you don't notice, much less remember. Oh, isn't that crazy? That we are wandering in a dream. Now, sometimes we stay put long enough to read a story. I would discourage you from doing that. I'm not sure that memories are a thing that you want to be accumulating. They may be a little like Balik China or Hummel figurines. I remember one of the first things I ever, speaking of Hummel figurines, one of the first things I ever said on the radio was I was flipping through one of my mother's good, I don't know whether it was Good Housekeeping. What a fantastic magazine. Well, I mean, the title to me is, I don't remember what was in it, but that's just the best title. Good Housekeeping. Man, it could refer to anything. But anyway, I was reading it, and there was an ad for one of these beautiful figurines. It was not by Sister Hummel. Or Hummel. I don't know how to say her name. Bless her. Nun. German nun. Did y'all like Blue Nun back in the day? What a fantastic Liebfraumilch wine. But anyway, I digress. So there's this figurine in the magazine. And it's, I think, a little boy fishing. It's not any kind of little boy that we are used to. His face is, it's, you know, it's not cartoonish, but it's not realistic. I don't know what that style is called. Cugatian. Remember Xavier Cugat? What a brilliant artist in a bunch of different mediums. But in this instance, is this child, this figurine, and I'm always reading things wrong. I don't know if it's dyslexia or I flipped the words, but I got it. I thought it said precise moments. And I thought, isn't that what a statue is? It's that precise moment. Look, he's just fishing that fish out of the water. He's sitting there so contented. It's just evocative of that innocence. I'm fishing. And you just feel so, your heart swells. You feel so tender and protective, that sweet little soul there, that precise. It said precious moments, which is also accurate. But I thought it said this is the precise moment, and that there would be other figurines that were indicators of precise moments. Little girl child having tea or something. I don't know, whatever. The people who make figurines don't have the same values as I. And whenever I say I at the end of a sentence, I feel like a Treasure Island pirate. Says I. I think that's it. I don't know why that is. Is that a West Country thing? I just heard this. That pirate, and I might have said this on the air before, and so it's now true. Because if AI is sort of culling information, anything you say goes in there. All right, that sounds reasonable. And AI is like a guy in a bar. I heard a friend of a friend, this happened to a friend of a friend, but He's golfing with a guy. A guy had a bad temper. He threw up the golf club. Golf club comes down and pales him. So, moving on. There was a question about where the pirate voice comes from. That why did pirates come from, like, West Country in England? Because they all sound like the guy whose shorts are too short on Time Team. And so, and they say, well, that came from the movie Treasure Island. And, And it's from one of the actors had selected that voice for Long John Silver. And, the seafood restaurant guy. And he said, you know, I'm going to do, Irish, pirate. Say, pirate, have some cider. Like that. And then that was pirate voice. But pirates, real pirates, sounded like this.
Hey, everybody. Hi.
Hang on again. I got to get it right.
Hello, everybody. I'm a pirate. Pirates.
I did that. I was looking over a bunch of old manuscripts, and I figured that out. And that's how they talked. Now, that I made, now I'm just being silly. I don't know how they talk. You could look it up, though. They probably say, oh, they actually talk like people do in modern-day Marietta or something. It's always like, you know, George, any kind of like Georgia accent. They don't have an accent in Marietta. What are I picking up? Baconton. Poor South Georgia. I remember they got tornadoes so bad one year. Bless their hearts. Bless everyone's hearts. Bless y'all hearts, pathetic monkey people. All of you. The whole world, aren't we? We're just so you see, you look at chimpanzees and you go, that's not me. Yeah, it is. Except they've got manners or something. They probably apologize after flinging their poo. And humans are like, I don't care. I don't care. I'll fling it. Oh, bless us. Oh, I care about you. Oh, my goodness. I'm not a saint, but I'll give you some old guitar I don't want. If it was like a child's one anyway, and I thought, well, this, you know, every child I've offered it to has turned it down. But this little fella, oh, I hope he's okay. I like not knowing, though, because I don't want to, I can't parent everyone. I remember I was thinking I had this dream where these children were in a field of rye and they were falling over a cliff and I was catching them in the rye before they fell over. No, that's Catcher in the Rye. My dream, it's corn. Snatching, but I'm corn snatcher. That doesn't sound good. Corn cat, none of them sound good. Corn doesn't go. Catcher in the Rye, that was a solid choice. Wheat catcher? No. Corn catcher. Catcher corn. Catcher. Corn snatcher is not good. No. Rye. Could you work rye in there? Because rye's been in a successful song. Whiskey and rye. That is like two different things. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how that. It's a house. Yeah, I was living in a house and a duplex. I don't know. One is a type of the other. Isn't it? Am I wrong? Well, the only thing I can think of that. So what I'm referencing is American Pie. Is it bye-bye? I don't want to think about it, but there's a line in the song that says, I'm with Eugene Levy, and I'm drinking whiskey and rye. And it's always bugged me. And then I thought, well, maybe the rye isn't rye whiskey. Maybe he's literally just like got a cup full of rye seed, and he's just drinking it down. That's bold. He might be doing that. I don't know. But the whiskey, if you drink the whiskey first, who knows what's going to happen second, what you're going to do with that rye. Look what I did with that rye. Oh, dude, no. Take a picture. No. I'm being creative with it. You're not. No. Bless you so much. Bless you. Oh, that's why I'm on the radio, is to bless you. I understand the human condition all too well. And when I think about it and really meditate on it, I have to take a break periodically. And that's the thing about if people would, here's the thing that I think about. I'm going to have a opinion about something. If I try to pray every day, not because I think it's going to do something magical, but as a way of reminding me of all the things that people have to go through in the world, and just, you know, just a litany of tragedy and experience, the intensity of it, the fragility of life. I go through that to remind myself to be aware of it. If I didn't compartmentalize it like that, then throughout the day I would be being blindsided by grief because I hadn't really thought about these conditions, and then it hits me. By doing it regularly, it's sort of like venting. My mom had a dog where you had to express its anal gland every once in a while, and if you did it regularly, everything was good. And that's the way I feel like with prayer. Prayer is like expressing, it's like a spiritual anal gland or something. It reminds you, it keeps you grounded. And you don't have to believe that any kind of, we can call it something else. I call it meditation. I don't think you do, because I know when you're meditating, you're going, don't think anything. Don't think anything. Ding! Don't think anything. Don't think. Like that. Or maybe, I don't know what your mantra is. Breathlessness. And that was mine when I wasn't in traditional TM. There's a guy named Tommy Martin, and he was just using his initials. And I'll teach you how to meditate, like that. And I was like, okay, very cynical, but he was correct, because what he really taught was a sort of prayer, and reminded me to be active, to be actively living my moral values. Now, I know morality is a bad word, and we don't, and because I'm being sarcastic, it isn't. Oh, bless you. I'm not preaching it. I'm just, you don't mind it when it comes from Mr. Rogers. I guess it's okay if you just don't insist. Don't insist that I treat you with dignity. Just be polite about it. Since I say, you must recognize my humanity. People get all, no, oh, must I? So you sort of like have to politely. So I've never understood that. So please show me dignity and respect. Please don't kill me. All right, I'll think about it. But I've always thought about being bolder, you know, with those kind of things. Having a zero tolerance for it, for not recognizing human dignity and the beauty and fragility of every life. And even among really gentle people, they'll tell you some people are garbage or something like that. And it's just, I can't be. You can't have it both ways. What is it? Is it the content of their minds? Because yours is fragile. What is it exactly that makes one person worth more than another? I'll sit here and wait. I'll play some music, and then you can tell me what better and best means vis-a-vis humans. And then I'll go on, I guess, about Francis Galton again. Oh, my goodness. Your old country guy always rambling on about the evils of eugenics. Well, it's just something that gets my goat, I guess. I might be a simple old fella, but there's some assumptions that are embedded in our Western way of thinking that are poisonous, cancerous, and I'd say borderline demonic. And they give us intellectual reasons for hate and destruction and discrimination. It's been going on a long time, trying to make it all seem like it's smart. And I'm here to say that you would rather be with me, who is stupid, demonstrably so. I'm so brave. I've been on the radio for hundreds of hours. And I've done it with my weak as Denny's coffee intellect. Just consistently. With fragmented thinking and malapropisms. All kinds of stuff like that. Just revealing the limits. I have come up against every wall of my Truman Show-like, limits of my thinking in public. So you watch me. You just watch me run full bore into a wall intellectually, consistently. And I do it not just that, but with humor. You watch me be not funny. And why you keep doing that? I'm doing it to demonstrate that that you can be gentle, and you can have good thoughts about the way that humans should treat one another, and not be a genius. In fact, there are some purported geniuses who are not very good at living with other humans. And they are treacherous and dangerous. And oh, we have more to worry about from one another sometimes than we do a dang old volcano. And that's something. And so my heart just cries out. Sometimes that's what the radio allows me to be vulnerable in a wonderful way. I imagine that I'm already dead and I'm speaking to live humans. And I say, I have nothing to lose. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid of being an outcast because I'm already dead. I'm not afraid of being mocked because I can't hear you. I'm not afraid of being rejected. I don't even know what's happening. I've experienced the ultimate rejection if I'm already gone. And so I speak to you from beyond the grave. From inside the tomb, I have no dog in this race. I mean, in my imagination, obviously I'm still alive.
Sorry for testing.
But figuratively, I'm not here. And so I can express things that I know other humans are feeling. No, no one wants to be mocked. No one wants to be shun. No one wants to be abused in any fashion. From the mildest teasing sometimes, which can be hurtful, to straight up emotional and physical violence. Oh! And as I pass people on the street, I don't know what they've gone through, so I try to be gentle with everyone. Because one thing I don't want to do is make it worse. If I know it exists, I can't make it worse. If I know it might have happened to you, how can I do that to you? How can I not give you that guitar? Gentle little soul in there. I know you're still in there. Some of us, we have to be so tough on the outside. There is no space not to be. You know, there's hardly any room, even in private. We dare not fall apart. It's not something we have the leisure to do, you say, Hardy. I understand that. I'm here as a witness, because that's the best thing. I know I'm dumb and don't have answers, so I can be just a pure witness. I can tell you what I've seen. I can just relay to you. And I feel like I'd like to do that if there is a God. I'd say, could I be one of their lawyers or something? Because I could tell you everything that's gone on here. It's going to blow your mind. If you haven't been paying attention, you're going to want to get involved there, Lord. Because the suffering is unbearable. And yes, there's little pockets. And if you could ask the wrong, I'm doing fine. But forever. You know, I want to be here. That's why I'm here to hold. You're reminding me of terrible things. I'm not reminding you of terrible things. I'm reminding you of a little light. Look at that little light.
Where?
Look at that tiny little night light.
A little night light.
That makes you feel safe, doesn't it?
Why?
Well, because there's a little glimmer of light still. I don't get it. Well, I don't either, but let's focus on it. I find that to be productive. I have experienced joy in my life. Oh, what is the source of it? I would say, it's a handful of sitcoms. I'm not going to go into them. What is the source of joy? I like to bring my own. For me, joy is like some kind of bottle of sauce that you carry around with you. And you can put it on a lot of things. I use it for shows. So let's say I'm going to see what's on television. There's the thing on television, the actual program, Bonanza, what have you, does not have to be good. I have learned some techniques for watching anything and bringing some joy to it. And that's about just watching on your terms or with your eyes and not ignoring serving suggestions. Let's put it that way. You know how you get a box of something and the picture on the box will say serving suggestion and it'll be the cracker that's inside, but then it'll have things on it like fish eggs or shallots, capers, or caper berries. I don't know what's on it, but, you know, and it'll say that's something you could do with it. If you had this cracker, those are some things that you could do, or nothing. You don't have to put anything on it. Well, everything comes with that. A lot of art comes with that, too. You know, TV shows. This is what this is meant to be. This is a television show, or this is a movie, or this is an old short that showed before movies. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that to you. I was looking at a box the other day. I pulled this box out of the cupboard and had a big chicken on it. And I said, oh, it's chicken. It's chicken stuff. And I opened it up, and I said, I'm going to have some chicken. Big picture. All that was on the front was a picture of a chicken. Cartoon chicken, a bantam. And I opened it up. You know what it was? Like some kind of corn cereal. What? Corn doesn't come from chickens. What's chickens have to do with corn? I guess they eat it. I got to start looking for that now. You say, you can tell there's a banana because there's a gorilla on it. So it's the thing that eats the thing. Yes. God, no. I mean, what's on the celery? I don't know, man. A watermelon might be hippos. I've seen hippos, films of people throwing hippos, watermelons. I don't know why I think David Letterman used to do that. He would have a hippo on and say, let's throw different things in the hippo. And then the hippo would crush it. And everybody would laugh. It was fun until it wasn't. And then he like put Velcro on the hippo or I don't know. Gosh, David Letterman, that seems so long ago. He's probably really old with a long white beard now. It was so long ago. Can you imagine? Everybody, can you go? All the comedians, what if it was like the cartoons, and all those old comedians now had long white beards, like Michael Stipe had a long white beard or something like that, right? That'd be so, you know, David Cross or something with some long white beard. But that's not reality. Those old cartoons, though, They really showed us a different world. And I've told you how affected I was by just not knowing who Joe Penner was. And that bothered me for many, 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 many years, probably until the internet. I'm not sure I had that worked out until then. And so many things were answered for me that I miss the questions. I miss the age of questions, you know, when I didn't know a lot of things and it wasn't readily available. And I had to wait for Irving Wallace and David Walachewski's People's Almanac to come out or something. Book of Lists. And then I'd say, oh, I didn't know that. But now that's all, you can see that at your fingertips. And I don't think I like that necessarily. I'm always looking stuff up on IMDb and I'm ashamed of myself. It's like, what's the use of reading the credits? Why even have credits? In fact, that's why they don't have credits, I bet, because they go, people can look it up. That's icky. And I miss the old times. I wonder if I'd rather been old back in the day. Maybe not. Is it a good time to be old or a bad? Is it ever a good time to be old? I don't know. Let's ask some old folks. Hey, I'm on the street today. I'll put some background sounds in. And I'm on interview older fella. Here's an older gentleman, and he has a long white beard, ladies and gentlemen. And he looks so old. He's stooped over. Hey, old timer. Hey, what's it like to be old? Well, sometimes I drag my beard along the street, and sometimes there's that liquid, you know, I don't know what it is. Hopefully it's soda, could be urine. All sorts of horrible, could be fuel. And then the tip of my beard, it sort of tapers, you know. So it's about the thickness of a finger of this hair that drags along the street and absorbs like a wick, all whatever's on the ground, and it wicks up my beard. It doesn't quite get to my mouth. My God, can you imagine that? But it gets far enough up where I've thought, do I need to burn that end of my beard like that, or to just, I guess I could trim it. But now I'm too old. Possibly if I got the spine thing fixed, I'd stand up straight. Beard wouldn't drag. Thinking about that, too. A lot of things going on, you know? A lot of things breaking down at once. There's a global kind of decimation of the organism that's happening. All different systems going at once. And it's not too bad. I'm looking forward to it. I hope the last days stretch out a little bit because I know what day of the week, because of the MeTV schedule, that I would like to perish. And I don't want it to be that day that they show nothing but Saved by the Bell. Although, can you imagine how that would be wonderfully therapeutic, because I'd think, do I really want to be alive? Nothing would let me let go of life more than a Saved by the Bell marathon. I'd look at that and I'd say, well, why not me? I think that way sometimes, you know, it's an attachment. I have Buddhist friends that say, you know, I'm trying to get rid of attachments. And I say to them, all right. I don't say anything clever. I don't want to mess with them or anything like that. We're all trying to get somewhere. I'm not trying to challenge you or upend it. There's so many paths to where we're going. Except the ones that go the opposite direction. And bless you, someone's on one of those. I'm not here to tell you which is which. You're going to have to figure that out. And sometimes you do by just falling over the edge. And there's no one there. Not J.D. Salinger. Not the kid in Holden Caulfield. You know, is that right? Yeah, Holden Caulfield. Holden Caulfield. Caulfield. He's got fields in the name, and there's like a field of... Oh, I'm stupid. Could have done better with the name, I think. I spend a lot of times, if I ever write fiction, I spend a lot of time on the names. And the way I get the names is I drive around the interstates and I look for two exit towns that sound good together. One of them, I remember, was in South Georgia, and it was two adjacent towns, Vienna and Pitts. And I thought, well, Vienna Pitts. You said Vienna. It's spelled Vienna, but it's pronounced, I assure you, it's pronounced Vienna. So Vienna Pitts would be a great name if you want to use it too. I don't see any reason why they can't be in both our novels, right? Same universe, maybe. I like to, you know, I've made a terrible mistake by saying the name of a town that is spelled like a European town, but is pronounced in a wacky American style, because we could be here all, we could just have that as a podcast. And people will start doing, oh, like Versailles? It's an all-day thing, and now I've ruined the comment board, I think, because now probably there's just going to be a long list of names that you don't know. You don't say it that way, actually. I lived in Montpellier, France, And I think someone thought I was saying it wrong. But I wasn't talking about Vermont. So just to be clear, if I ever talk about Montpellier, I lived in the south of France very briefly. But it was a very powerful experience because I was sucked through a time portal, basically. I don't know how to... I fell into a medieval mikveh. And that's a very long story, but I ended up spending some time with Isaac the Blind, who is a Kabbalist from the area, and I met Nostradamus, who went to medical school in Montpellier, and I don't want to go into it, but let's just put, how do I say this without revealing too much? Let's just say Hister was just a running joke between us, and that it made it into his poetry kills me. I just think that's so funny, Hister. But and then, so how can a thing cause a thing? So if I read Nostradamus now, and then I went back in time and gave Nostradamus the idea that I had read. There's movies about, like the book, isn't there movies about this? Yes, because people can't stop thinking about it. I would just, first of all, I don't, no spoilers, but that isn't how things work. So isn't that great? That's not how time works. So you don't even have to worry about it. But let's say I went back in time then and gave him the idea.
It's not, you just said it's not how it works.
I know, isn't that great? I'm glad it's not how it works. And even if there was time travel, I'm not sure that it would be how it worked. My idea is that you could simulate time travel. You just have to shift. It'd be really tedious. But I think you'd have to jump universes. You'd have to go to a freshie, like a close, a doppelganger universe. So let's say I wanted to go back to 1943 inexplicably. I would jump over to 1943 somewhere else in an almost identical universe, but it wasn't. But it was identical enough where I wasn't going to mess with it because maybe I'm supposed to be there in that one. Interesting.
What are you saying?
I'm saying maybe we're dotted with time travelers from not the future, not our future, but someone else's.
Really?
No. But listen, at some point, I'm going to have to be on very late at night and say these things. I've been practicing for years. Imagine that there are visitors among us. There might be. Oh, I'd love to scare myself. No, I scare myself. Leaving the house. It's so easy. I love it. I love it. People, a lot of people have to watch horror movies. They have to go to haunted houses and all that kind of stuff. Not me. I can go Kroger. I'm terrified. And so that's so great. I save a lot of money. And sometimes it's time of day. I think about my neighborhood, but after a certain hour that'd be lovely. Boy, that's true and it's not true, because I like to also be scared, and I put myself in some situations. Mainly, I like creeping around at night in cities. That's scary, and I don't do it very often, but you really feel like if you're alone, you feel vulnerable, but you also feel like, well, maybe I'm Rorschach. Maybe they're scared of me, you know? Maybe I'm the creep. And that's a fun thing to think about. You know, you should whistle like. Like Peter Lorre. And then they really will. Then you probably get killed. Don't do that. Oh, bless you. I'm not here to give any kind of tips. I am just here to sort of soothe your soul. I want to give you a little shoulder rub. Oh, no, that makes me feel uncomfortable. Not literally. I'm not touching you. That's the wonderful thing. I'm going to come up to you, and I'm going to say, friend, I don't know who you are, but my gosh, this life is a rough thing to get through. And just when you think you got, oh, my professional life seems to be going okay. Oh, there goes my personal life. Oh, there goes my family. Oh, something's wrong with my mother. Oh, I'm over here. It's just a juggling act. Nothing ever. You say, I'd like just a moment of peace for a minute. Even if you had a moment of peace, you'd be waiting for the other shoe to drop. Life is rough. And you're looking for those little moments of joy. I wish I could find them. Joy and companionship. Maybe that lies with another person. And I say, well, maybe. But don't be greedy right now. Let's go for a moment. Let's strive for a little instance of peace, a little island, a tiny, tiny little island in time of joy and separation. We can rise above it all. And there is no past and no future. There's just an eternal now. And nothing matters. We're both dead and alive, removed from all of it, as we will have to be at some point. And here we reside in a sort of a momentary radio Sabbath, where we can just be together with other and verify, you can check with me, that other humans are frightened, that we are have all sorts of range of emotions, that pain is real and joy is real, and that we can never really understand another person's experience exactly, but we can allow ourselves to understand it a little, to feel it a little, just enough that we do something if we can. That's how I always feel. This is something, I'm that kid who gave the guitar to, that little Jaden, he tug on my heartstrings there. I'm glad he did. And a minute I dropped my, because they, you know, neighborhood kids, you know, why are you coming around again? That's my, I'm like Heidi's, I'm really like Heidi's grandfather. I don't know if you've seen the movie. Get out of here. But I'm your granddaughter. I don't care. F off. It's rough, man. I guess they're Swiss or German or what? They're probably Swiss. I had a Swiss neighbor one time and it tracks. I'm just kidding. Bless her heart. She was like, I thought, I called her Heidi's grandfather, even though her name was Michelle. But it was before the fence went up, and she would wander over and just critique all my plants all the time. And then I have a friend who lived in Switzerland that said, that's it. That's, they send around, you'll get a letter saying your plants look like they're sad. Signed, the government. So I don't know whether, I guess, if so, you have to understand that all people coming from different experiences, and they're not all you. That's why I would love when Mr. Rogers would have somebody over. He'd say, you know, he'd have somebody over from New Guinea, and he'd explain how they don't just eat people willy nilly. That it's part of a ceremonial thing, you know, that eating people is. And then he showed keep the river on your right. I remember that, and it was beautiful. I learned so much from Mr. Rogers. And he was saying, don't just eat, well, I don't want to go in, but his whole beautiful show on cannibalism, if you can get it, is something else, public television. And I want him not, I can't be Mr. Rogers. I can't be. Do I want to be? No. Some of me wants to live in Pittsburgh. I'm not going to lie to you. I would like to live in Pittsburgh. I don't want to be a Presbyterian minister. I'm sorry. I bless you so much. I know you're good folks. And I remember seeing your bowling team, all the Presbyterian minister bowling team. And I thought, look at that. And it was a diverse lot, too. I loved it. But no, that's not something that calls, that speaks to me. And just being ordained is a bad, I don't support the idea. I would be a Cathar, but I think they periodically massacre them down to the last person. but I'm generally anti-clerical.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that weird? I think of, you can't be anti-authoritarian and then say, but except for priests. You can't be, pretty much be consistent there with your, no, I don't need, I really don't need that kind of thing. My teacher for me is a temporary assignment, and I've had lots of teachers. I just don't know about permanently assigning someone some kind of, you know, you are the grand teacher or something like that. Doesn't make any sense to me. And I love people who dedicate their lives to service, but I'm. Do you need a title? I think I want to be the Viscount of Compassion. Well, I don't know. Can't you just do it? But bless you if you need some kind of certification. I understand. I get my hackles up. I don't know what they are, but they're out when I am ever asked to do a wedding. I love to do weddings. And I just see it as playing a role that I don't have any power, and I certainly don't have any power to marry people. And that irks me only because I don't believe in state-sanctioned religion. And in this country, that's the way we like to do it. You can't have any belief that is not on a list. And if you do have it, it's considered non-traditional, occult, and it's not recognized. So you can't perform marriages or something like that. And only the approved list of religions. And they all have, what do they have in common? Leadership. Always. This is what got the Cathars killed. You know? It wasn't a theological point. It was saying, you know, gosh, some of these religious leaders seem corrupt. That will get you killed. For sure. So, I'm on a freeform radio station because I'm a freeform person in general. I don't have a genre. I'm not a comedian. I'm not an artist. I'm not anything. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm nothing consistently. I am a generalist in the way that I would love everyone to be. And I'm average in the way that people are but don't realize. And so I believe in my mission on the radio, which is sort of like anti-exceptionalism, anti-authoritarianism, and anti-clerical. I don't mind using those words. I've seen no good come from them necessarily. Look what Mr. Rogers had to do to have an actual ministry. Just go on and be a gentle TV puppeteer. Right? He didn't need any title. And you don't ever call him Reverend. You just call him Mr. Rogers. I feel, and everyone does, uncomfortable calling him Fred a little bit. But some people did. And bless them. You can call him Fred. I don't. I don't know the man. And I think as far as, I'm talking a lot about him. But I really wanted to talk about Poseidon Adventure, but I never got to it. Isn't that funny? Because it was shown on television when I was a young person, and I was very terrified from it. And I was going to sort of examine why anybody would show that to children. Because it was on TV, and they know kids were going to see it. And there's a kid in it, you know? Imagine being on a cruise with your family and your grandmother dies. Because the ship goes and turns over. That's the worst. It's the worst. I and everybody in my generation was emotionally wrecked by it. And then Towering Inferno, they showed that too, just to make it, you know, and burning buildings. Because you got to rub some salt in that. Oh, bless you. I just want to hug everybody. That's why I feel so, I don't feel defeated. I have a constant state of having my armor knocked off. I can live like that, and I do, and I believe in it. But it's all gone. All my outer exoskeleton has been chipped off, and all I now do is sort of just feel, and it helps me realize all that my the heroic acts that all of you perform every day by just getting up and doing things. Just you have my absolute love, and I believe in you so much and understand it, and I see you. Hardy sees you. If I see you, it means that others do conceivably. And you are amazing in your scattered, crazy, chaotic imperfections. And they're just absolutely perfect, I think. And you, I would say hang in there, but there's position to yourself where you just have to, you don't have to really hang in there as much as maybe just lay. You can cut, like if there's a branch, let's say you were hanging from the branch. If there's any way you can kind of flip yourself on top of it and just kind of lay on it like a lazy leopard, that's what you do that. So don't just hang in there, kind of flop on something and just stay there until you perish and roll off. That's what I'm going to do. And bless you so much of you. Give me my joy. You're the source of my joy. We can be the source of joy for one another? I think so. Oh, I think we can. And I try to do it sometimes by making silly songs or what have you. And I made a couple for you. I'd like to, one I was going to, well, I'll just play one. It was kind of inspired by Severance, but it's a new song. It's a new theme for my show, Apartness. Welcome to the Severance Floor, Mark P.
Hello.
And this is Joe P.
Hello, Mark. You want to buy a duck?
And this is your co-worker, Tommy W. Oh, hi, Mark. That's my little skit. And my friend Mark P, I didn't do a real good impression of him.
Hey,
that's him. So, one more time, my Mark impression.
Hey.
And that's all I can do. I can't do anything more than that. But that's pretty accurate. I think he's probably freaking out. He said, that's amazing. You've got me. You've got me. Well, I tell you, I get a lot of joy in making music, and I don't really do anything with it except I listen to it. I do this with paintings, too. I put them on my wall, and I look at them because I found out that a lot of my art doesn't mean as much to other people as it does to me, and I feel very blessed by that because I'm not compelled to. There's not people clawing at my door saying, "You give me your latest art." You know, I get to keep it. And if I like it, then that's a win. So I tend to be excited by that. And yes, I do listen to my own music. And I know that's probably frustrating for you. But it gives me some joy. And I think it's so crazy. I mean, I think when you're not very good, it's almost more exciting when you make something that sounds like a song. Because you think, oh my God, how did I do that? This is so much fun. And when you're really, I was sitting next to a table of classical musicians at a restaurant. I knew some of them. I pretended I didn't. Is that awful? I didn't want to talk to them. We're not close friends. They were just, a lot of them were acquaintances. But it was like principal violin, cello of local symphonies and stuff like that. And I've got nothing but pity. I just can't imagine how much music is ruined for them, really. And my God, you know, I just, my relationship to it is so free that I just can't imagine that it's not like, you know, I want to be crude, but like kind of doing it on film or something, you know? I like a little privacy so I can express myself. And I am talking about music. And here's what I mean. Here's another little song I made. Why, that is weird, Hardy. I know, right? But I think it's hilarious. I don't know why I was playing it really loud and everything. And I know that's silly, but my goodness, if you can entertain yourself, that's people see children or simpletons like myself. They say, how can he just like get that much joy out of a glue gun and some boxes? And I said, I don't know. I'm addicted to surprising myself. And I try to put myself in situations where I am surprised. And I've loved living my life that way. And then the other thing I try to do is not get too angry, because that messes everything up. I can do the same things without getting angry. I can be moved to action without getting angry. Angry seems to be, for me, an emotion that catches me off guard because I haven't been doing my homework. And so I think I can get serious about things. You can see when I'm getting serious. And I don't need to scare anybody, I don't think. I certainly don't need to scare myself. Oh, my friends, I am so lucky to have you. I hope I haven't wasted any of your time. Yes, you have. Well, it won't happen again. That's a good thing. I love that about the... Right, no one's made to listen to the show, so you don't get letters going, I am made to listen to your show, and I resent it. Because there's so much free choice. I don't want to jinx it, but I don't really... I haven't gotten that much hate mail over the years. Because that knob is just right there. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Freeform radio, the way to ging to bang to bow. Oh, bless you so much. I'll see you again next week. Thank you.
Mahogany. Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was 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 Mahogany.